2 Corinthians 5. I titled the message tonight, Maintaining Balance, Maintaining Balance. 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll go to a different, several other portions of Scripture, obviously, as we usually do. It says 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if I didn't tell you that, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He says, to wit, or to think, to understand, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now we'll look at this evening, and just thinking about maintaining balance. I saw the story recently of a man, I cannot recall his name, it's a European name, but he, back in the 80s, was a phenomenal tightrope walker. And he was one of the leaders of the pack. I mean, leading the way in this, whatever you want to call it, a sport or whatever it was. But he got his great, great opportunity, and he tied a rope between two large buildings, and it was pretty big distance. And obviously he was up hundreds of feet. And he went out and he had his long pole. You remember that, how they did that, you know, the long pole. And he had on those real slipper type things. And he was walking out. He went backwards and he went forwards and he was doing all his stuff. Well, the wind kicked up and it started doing that to him. And I don't know if you've seen the video, but I saw it. And it's very sad, it's very tragic, but he's an older guy, probably in his 60s, but it started going. And all of a sudden, he dropped his pole. As soon as he did that, he started to fall, and he grabbed the rope, but there was going too much of this going on, and he ended up plummeting down, and he passed. I mean, he plummeted to his death. And I thought about that, I thought, that's a pretty tragic story. And they were just devastated, and what was said afterwards was very interesting. It was this: he was a professional. He was the leader in this industry. How could this have happened? And we're going to see tonight, think about, there's some outside things that come our way, just like that wind that he didn't anticipate to kick up, that can throw off our balance. I took my truck the other day to the mechanic, and something in the back tire was off balance. And it was just, you know, when your car starts vibrating. And I tried to go faster, see if it would, no, it wouldn't go away. So I took it to him. I said, the back tire balanced this and that. He's like, all right. So he got it up. He put some weights on it. You know how they do that. He gave it back to me. All right, it's fixed. I went and picked it up. Took it down the highway. It's feeling good. I hit about 75, and there it comes again. You know, so I called him. Hey, it's still doing it. Okay, bring it back. You know, I took it back. Tried to do something else with it. And finally, he just said, well, you know, I think it's something wrong with your rim or your tire. You need to fix it. You know, not real helpful, but he did try and help me a little bit. But I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that we get a lot of balance, man, it gets annoying, doesn't it? It can really mess our day or our lives even up. And there's a principle in Scripture that we're going to find of balance, the balance of a believer. I think about an example of Daniel. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, you know that, were in the midst of a heathen nation. And they were captured, and they were taken, and they were young men that were intelligent, handsome, strong, all the things that we look for, I guess you could say. And they had all the allurements of the world before them. You remember what happened? They set out the king's meat. And they said, no thanks. You don't want any of this? No. You don't want to be a part of our group? You don't want to be a part of what we're giving you and doing? No, we're not interested. We're interested in serving God. And it says he purposed in his heart to what? Not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He stood for what was right. He decided he's going to maintain balance. Now, thinking about that and tying this in here, we find here in our scripture what Paul says is, he said, if you're truly a child of God, you're a new creature. You're a new creature. Now, a couple things tonight I want to talk about just here briefly. One is that we have the advantage. We have the advantage. How do you say that? Well, we have the truth. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. We've covered that many times. But we think about that. We have the truth. We have the truth about salvation. We have the truth about the life that we live. Again, the three basic questions of life are what? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? Where am I going? Where I came from? Sure, I know where I came from. Lord, I believe that in the beginning, God created man and a woman gave him as a helpmeet. And from that family, we're come down the line. Our young people today are saturated with this idea that they came from nothing, right? Nothing. Basically, a chemical soup that started to move on its own one day. And out of that soup, what happened? Some kind of life form. And out of that evolved and evolved and evolved and evolved. And you think about that, and I thought, if our young people, or even some many adults, believe we came from nothing, then what we're doing now here doesn't really matter, does it? Why? Because there's nothing in the afterlife. I better get all I can, like I said last week, can all I get, right? I better get everything I can. Hey, I better get with as many people as I can. Hey, it don't matter if you're promiscuous. It don't matter. Do all you can, right? Until this is the only life you got. It doesn't matter who I hurt. It doesn't matter who I betray. It doesn't matter what I do. This is all I have. So we know that. I'm talking about we have the advantage tonight. So there's no excuse for having an imbalance within us. Where we came from, what we're doing now, we know what we're doing now. We're serving Christ. That's what Paul says. You're a new creature. Well, now that you're a new creature, notice what he says. You have become an ambassador. You've given that, notice what he says, the ministry of reconciliation. That's your ministry. A lot of Christians today don't understand that, but all of us are missionaries. Every one of us, we're a missionary. We're an ambassador. We are a reconciler. We've been given that ministry. God gave that to each one of us the moment we got saved. And the duty of every one of us is to reproduce another Christian, right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're to go out and to preach the gospel, live our lives according, and obviously share the gospel. But what we're doing now, where we're going, we know the future. Well, that's covered. We know where we're going. We don't know the day, the hour, the what, why, when, and where, but we know where we're going, right? The day we die, I'm saying. But we know where we're going. And I'm talking about we have the advantage. We know these things. We understand them. Now we're free. I say, secondly, free from the penalty of sin. Very clear, Romans 8, John 3, John 5. We're free from the slavery of religion, that religious thing that so many people try and put upon us. We've been talking about on Wednesday evenings, about that religious mold they try and make us fit into. No, we have not a religion. We have a relationship, don't we, with Christ. We're free. I'm talking about the imbalance here. Notice we're free from death. Again, the fear of death. I read before, but Hebrews 2:15 says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death. Always fearing. Always fearing. We're confident, he says, knowing we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. We'd rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's the mark of a true spiritual believer. So again, we have the advantage. We have the advantage in this life knowing the truth. I feel sorry for people that don't know the truth. They wander around this world, don't they? From relationship to relationship, from job to job, from everything they go, they're just lost, aren't they? Lost. We have the advantage and we know that. And when we know that, we have a balance that comes to our life. Doesn't come. There's things that pull at us every day, don't they? They pull us over this way to pull us off balance. And we get off track. And when you do, you start feeling that and you know it. We know the truth. Let me say, we have access to God. Now, this is something very interesting that we need to study. Our access to God is open and clear. The path to God is clear. What muddles the road? What puts hiccups in the road? Well, it's you and I, isn't it? We put things there. Now the adversary's there. We talk about it. The tempter's there. He's there to try and throw roadblocks there. Stepping or stumbling blocks that, again, I said, we ought to take stepping. Stumbling blocks make a stepping stone. It's hard to say, right? And sometimes, by the way, I came to me the other day staring at a stop sign that I failed to stop at. But that God will put, what? Some stumbling blocks in our lives, but they're not to be stop signs. Some people get stumbling blocks and they just stop, right? Stop. Oh, I'm not serving anymore. I'm not coming back. No, use that as a stepping stone. But anyways, we talk about the access to God. Now think about that. Can I maintain balance in an unbalanced world? The world pushes on us an imbalance. How so? Well, it tells us to indulge in things. overindulge, right? Overindulge in order to fix a minor problem. You ever see those commercials about the medicine? Do you have nasal congestion? Yes, I do. Okay, take this pill, and if you grow an extra leg, you continually vomit, and you feel half dead, and all the other things that come with it. You say, I don't want that. No, thank you, right? I'm saying that very silly, but you understand. An overemphasis. Okay, you have a headache? Well, you don't need a six-pack, okay? You don't need all kinds of things. You get maybe grow up in a home where not a lot of encouragement, or you have a broken home or something, they go into drug abuse and things of the extreme. The world pushes an imbalance, don't they? Well, you just look at the average commercial, like I was saying. It's spend, 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 spend. And again, they always show the person so happy and joyful to spend money, right? Which is not, it's a temporary high, isn't it? You spend money, it's like, yes. And then you get home and you go, stink. That wasn't a good idea. Or you see the young people on the beach running around, you know, yes, oh, this is awesome. The big bonfire and the good-looking girls and the good-looking guys, and the guys got their shirt off and they're just running around and drinking alcohol, right? That's not true. We ain't never seen a party like that, okay? You understand that. They don't show the reality of those things. Again, the imbalance. They're trying to give us an overindulgence on one side, and we become lopsided. One thing with the children, those of you already raised children, the children is what? Trying to keep them balanced. You don't go over. Today, sitting on the couch, and the girls, I heard the pantry door open. And so I looked over, you know, and there's the two little ones, and they go in the pantry and they shut the door, you know, real quietly. And then I hear, I said, girls, what are you doing? One piece, what's that? Nothing. She's got sugar all over her mouth, you know, red all in her teeth from the candies we have, you know. What are you doing? No, nothing. You think about, what do they want? They want all sugar, all candy, all things. That's me, I know. I'm talking about that imbalance in life, the access to God. Let me get back to my point here. We see we're tempted daily. We know we're hurting. We hurt often. We know that we need wisdom, though. And what the adversary wants us to do is to get off and get into a state of constant, habitual imbalance in our lives. Why? So we can run to other things besides God. See, the Lord God brings balance to us. Joseph went down into Egypt. And what did they do to Joseph? Well, there's things that they did to him that were very vile and wicked. They treated him very poorly. But one thing they tried to get him to do was what? To be involved with the society in which he was in. And Joseph stood up, as I said, Sunday night or Wednesday? I can't remember. But his sins are not mentioned in Scripture. Now, did he have sins? Absolutely. We know he sinned. He was a human being, Daniel as well. But he went down into, the most wicked society at the time. And he said what? No thanks. And the wife said, I like you. No thank you. Come over here with me. No one's around. No thank you. Finally comes to the point where she's physically grabbing this young man, pulling him, and she must have been a strong gal, by the way. She was a strong girl, a big girl. And he had to physically rip out of his coat because she had hold of that boy. And she said, you're going to come with me or else, right? And you think about it. He said what? No, I refuse to get out of balance where God wants me to be. Now, again, I said Eastern mysticism uses the word center. Any of you ever studied any of that yoga or anything? They're trying to get you what? Centered, you know, centered on the universe, center feng shui or whatever you want to call it. You get in the right place, everything aligns just right. We prefer not to use that word. We use the word balance. Proverbs repeatedly talks about this area of balance, and Solomon says you have to have a right balance. Now he's talking about honesty and integrity, but we understand what he means here as we talk about. Now let me say, I must move on here. Number two, we have definite responsibilities. So in this area of walking the way we should, in this area of walking the tightrope of life, we don't know what's coming, as I said this morning, with the storms that come and arise in our lives. We have definite responsibilities that help us stay focused. One word to represent Christ. Well, we just read that. Represent me, right? We are reconciled to God, now have given the ministry of reconciliation. It's very interesting to me. God doesn't give us a ministry that we know nothing about. You thought about that? He gives us a ministry we know everything about. That's reconciliation. And the more you are reconciled, the more of a heart and a passion you have for reconciling others to Christ, right? He's giving us a ministry that we know very much about. And we find out that God was in Christ, the deity of Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, not imputing them. And I love how Paul writes, he goes on to talk about that again, that we are saved by verse 21, he's made to be sin for us who knew no sin. And you think about, we're not only responsible to reconcile others, we're to lead others. Romans 14, 7 says, for none of us live unto himself, or to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore die, we are the Lord's. Okay, again, we're leading other people to Christ. We lead some by what we say and what we do. We help people. We help people by the things we don't do. Let me say, first of all, again, I reference Daniel, but by the things we don't do. Now, by the way, Daniel is often saw as the leader of those three Hebrew boys, and I believe he was as well. And I believe, according to the scripture, Daniel setting the precedence or setting the stage and said, I'm not going to eat this meat that's been offered to idols. Those three boys, his brothers, said what? We're not going to do it either. You know, somebody's maybe just waiting for you to make that decision. Very lonely at the top. You're going to step out by faith and make the decision to live for Christ. There's be others that'll follow. We help people by the things we don't do. You and I can offend lost people with wrong actions. We must maintain higher standards. And we know Paul says in Philippians 1, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Ye may approve things that are excellent. Ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Till the day of Christ. We help people by doing the right things or what we're supposed to do. Okay, again, the will of God is, right? Or well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We lead others. Thirdly, let me say, then we have the balance. How do we maintain it? Well, we have these responsibilities. We know what God wants us to do. We must first be with them without partaking in their sins. Matthew 9 talks about, and it came to pass, Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came, sat down with them and his disciples. I love the stories, as I said this morning, of Christ. Reading through the Gospels, you get a glimpse of who Jesus was, but he didn't go to the high and prestigious people, did he? And say, I'm here. They rolled out the red carpet for him. No, where did he go? He went right to the lowest of low and to the sinner's houses. Said, can I have dinner with you tonight? Are you sure? Absolutely. Let me come and sit with you. We must be with them without partaking of their sin. Again, the old picture given of the boat. The boat's purpose is to be in the water. But as soon as the water gets inside the boat, you got problems, right? How many boats do you see sitting on the side of houses over here? As we travel home from church, there's at least two boats I've seen that are sitting on the side of a house just rotting away. Well, they're not serving their purpose. I mean, you could flip the thing over and use it as some kind of protection, I guess. Or as I've seen these boats, you fill it with a bunch of junk as a storage container, right? You're not using it, right? And you think about that. The boat's purpose is to be in the water, but as soon as the water gets in the boat, you got problems. And that's our state of being. We have to live in this world, don't we? But as soon as the world gets living in us, we got problems. The book of Exodus, I love it, is God bringing his people up out of the world, out of Egypt, a picture of the world. Well, what's Leviticus? Leviticus is then what? Getting the world out of God's people. You think about all those rules, regulations, commands. What was it? It was God getting the world out of his people. Now, that's what we have in the Word of God today. That's a point we must understand. How can I live in this world and the sinful behavior around me, the people around, and maintain balance? We follow Christ. We must also be uncompromising in our stand, yet humble in our walk. We know that. I have several things under that, but you understand. Uncompromising. We won't compromise. I just won't do it. We've settled in our hearts. I'm not going to do it. He purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat. We know that. I'm not going to. I'm not going to partake in that. Let me say thirdly, we must be their friends, but not their buddies. Again, talking about the world, maintaining balance of people around us. because they're pulling at us constantly. Oh, are they pulling? Are they pulling? We must be their friends, but not their buddies. 2 Corinthians 6, again, we read this on, I believe, Wednesday, but be not unequally yoked together. Why? He says there's no righteousness with unrighteousness. We can't agree. We can't have that balance we're supposed to have, right? We must be their friends. We must love them while hating their sin. I had an individual ask me this just last week, and they said, how come you don't allow the same-sex people in your church? And I said, well, that's not true. Number one, I said, we let anybody in. Our doors are open to anybody. I said, but we love the sinner, but we hate the sin. Or we, according to what the Bible says, right? It's clear God is against same-sex marriage and homosexuality and other things. We've talked about that before. You don't get very far into the Bible and find that out very soon. What you think about, people will accuse us of that, right? You have no compassion. You have no heart for others. That's not true. And by the way, don't you hate it when people talk about you and they've never even gotten to know you? Or they talk about the church and they've never even set foot on the church? I can't tell you. We've got quite a few critics. They're not real loud and boisterous and other things, but we got some critics. They've never even come to a service here, right? Or the people that, you know, criticize you and what you do in your life or your marriage or your personality, they've never even got to know you. But you think about having compassion, making a difference, Jude says, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We must make them aware of their sin without being their judges. Jesus made that clear. Don't judge, right? Be careful. Be careful. We must judge righteous judgment. We must show them Christ is in us without being holier than thou. Boy, I've been accused of that before. Holier than thou. Pharisaical, right? They say, no, we must offend them with the gospel without being offensive, if that makes sense. The gospel is offensive, right? We know that. But we do it in the right spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. Now again, just talking about the balance we have. Let me wrap it up here with my last point. We find that God throughout Scripture commands us to walk according to His Word and according to His will. And anytime you follow this book, let me tell you something, it brings balance to your life. Just like that tire was out of whack. He put weight on it, okay, put it on the machine, put the weight on the other side of it, put it on the machine, just couldn't get it. Something's off with it. We come to the Bible as that balance machine, and it balances us out every single time. I don't know about you, but I read the Bible as much as I can, and when I come to the Bible in the morning, I read it, and I say, Lord, I didn't want to read that today, right? I wanted to read something else. And I read it, and I go, oh, really? That's what you gave me today? Now I got to deal with that all day, right? talking about forgiveness. I love Brother Ryan mentioned, help us to forgive. Yes, praise the Lord for that. That was wonderful. I need that. Forgiveness. Look, you read some of that stuff and you go, Lord, I didn't want to read that. What's it doing? It's getting us balanced. Getting us balanced. Getting us back where we need to be. And you think about it. Oh, my friends, we need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guiding, directing, empowering, leading us as we're supposed to be. Daniel, I think about him and his friends. They did a very well job. They fulfilled their responsibility. We think about that. I have a lot here about Daniel. I apologize. We have that as well. We live in a heathen world just like they did. We understand we have that distinct advantage over those around us. Now, what's the advantage? Lord, I am a child of the Most High God. Isn't that wonderful? The advantage. I've become a reconciler to others, for others. I am with God. I am now an ambassador for Christ. I'm an ambassador. I go forth representing God. Again, you and I get very fearful and scared in this world when we don't spend time with the Lord because the world hates our God. Don't forget that, okay? Well, they're not so bad, which is true. That's what the adversary does, is deceive us and uses deception. It hates our Bible. This world hates what we're doing. The world hates, have you ever noticed, why do they show the best games on Sunday night? Okay. Or why do they have something on Wednesday night? The Emmys or something like that. You know, that it's just something. I'm being a little silly about that, but you understand. The world hates you being in church tonight and hates everything about our God and our Bible. We must come back to and understand. He says, I've called you to be an ambassador, and I have given you the power. I've given you all that you need to fulfill all righteousness. Again, Paul's talking to this church here that was very, very corrupted, had a lot of problems, and he was reminding them that if you're in Christ, you're a new creature, and you now have a responsibility, a responsibility. Again, I encourage you this week, as you work, I know every one of you go forth this week, go your separate ways, and you will work tirelessly this week. I know that. Very hard. The kids are, they're in school, full-blown school time, and they don't like it, but they're busy all the time with school, with other things, chores and other stuff we try and get them to do. I know that. And it's very easy, if you're like me, to just start kind of getting a little bit imbalanced in my life and not following what I'm supposed to do. How do we come back to that? With the Word of God, you know that. Our prayer time, focused on Christ. We need more Christians that are walking with balance today, ready and aware of the storms, as I said this morning, that are going to come, ready and aware and prepared to counterbalance whatever comes our way, right? That's what we do. That's what we do. And I'm so thankful that you're so faithful. By the way, I don't say this enough, and I apologize. Sometimes I can be a little bit too doom and gloom when I preach, and I do apologize. But I am so thankful for every one of you being just so faithful. You know that? Faithful. I appreciate it. We would not have a church without people. Isn't that true? We wouldn't. And there were days when it was just wife and kids. But I appreciate you being so faithful. I appreciate you maintaining your balance. We have far too many. Just heard again, just last week. Oh, just really bothers me. Heard another fella was once in the ministry, serving faithfully, and he decided, nope, this isn't for me. I'm going to go ahead and leave my family and leave the ministry and everything else. And it just grieves you. You know, I don't know what he went through. He probably went through a very difficult season of something. I don't know, but and I pray for that person. But it grieves me, and I'm just so encouraged. I thank you for maintaining balance and staying faithful. Okay, I'll stop there. Anyways, thank you so much. Lord, praising you for your grace tonight, taking care of us, watching over us. I really do say that sincerely tonight, how I thank you for these folks and how they've been so faithful. With so many flakes and fickle people around us in this world, I'm so thankful you've given us these folks, these families, these kids. We're so grateful for them. I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to maintain the balance I need to. And God, we're aware that there's a lot of wind and rain and storms coming up, trying to throw us off that tightrope, I guess you could say. Help us to be aware and to be prepared to counterbalance and staying in the Word, staying, Lord, please, focused on you and waiting again for that great day when you take us home. We look forward to that. Be with, again, those that couldn't be here. I pray for them, Lord, and thank you for each one. Please guide us this week. Protect us, please, especially those traveling in tomorrow. They travel back and forth on that highway. Would you please watch over them? Would you please be with them? Be with our families, God. Be with our marriages. I pray you'd strengthen our marriages. Give us strength, God. We need your strength, God, as the adversary works so tirelessly to destroy our homes, to try and destroy our children and so forth. Would you put a special hedge of protection about our families? And Lord, give us the strength to be the witnesses, as we read tonight, the ambassadors for you. In Jesus' precious holy name, we thank you and amen.